The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 10 minutes past 10 o'clock. Our guest in the studio today is Kevin Vaughn from Pyro Paradise, and we're going to be talking about fireworks safety. Starting to get rid of the snow and start thinking about all the summer holidays coming up, even though Mother Nature hasn't cooperated quite yet. But as I understand it, Pyro Paradise is expanding, and
we're
talking about that. We're also going to be talking about safety, because that's one of the most important things when you're dealing with something like fireworks. To have a good time is to have a safe time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for having me on. It's great to be here.
Now, the law changed a couple of years ago, allowed more than just smoke bombs and sparklers.
Right.
And how has that kind of worked out?
Well, you know, traditionally, as you say, it was just fountains and smoke bombs and all ground effects, and now it's changed. Back in 2012, everything went to aerial, so all these aerial fireworks are now legalized, and you know, it's consumer grade, Class C aerial fireworks are legalized, because there is a difference. The Class B is the professional grade, and it's not legal.
Class A is the Army.
You know, Class A gets into more of the dynamite and bigger flash powder, so which we try to stay away from at all costs.
That's not the good thing. Not to go fishing with a stick of dynamite.
Oh yeah, that's bad. But no, as far as the consumer grade fireworks, they've worked out great. Very few incidents that I have heard about as far as accidents. Very positive for the communities, revenues generated for the state, for the fire departments. The fire marshal has gotten very active in supporting consumer grade fireworks. Lots of revenue has been generated by the taxation that has been put on them, because there is a 12% sales tax on fireworks, 6% for the state of Michigan and 6% for the Bureau of Fire Services.
So the change was designed to help pay for any administrative costs that might come down the road.
Absolutely. And it goes back to the local fire departments as well. I mean, it doesn't just go for administration in Lansing. Firefighters like myself, that when we decide that we want to be a volunteer firefighter or something, when that tax money is raised from the sale of fireworks, it will go to help guys like me go to Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2, advanced extrication on vehicles. It pays for state training for that for firefighters.
Which they can then again use if you don't use them properly.
Right, exactly.
So that's part of what we're going to be talking about today is using them properly and safely. One of the other things that the state had come up with when they broadened the scope of what you could buy in the area was they required people selling it to have adequate insurance and other things.
Right.
And there was a lot of people balking about that.
Sure, there was.
People, you know, every year since I was a little kid, I can remember tents popping up around the holiday weekends, and we would head up north to Alpena, where my folks were from, and you'd just see them in every little town going by.
Yep.
And you knew they weren't there in the middle of the winter.
Correct.
There were just a small seasonal business that was there went with the flow, but they were concerned that the state was driving them out of business because of the cost.
Well, yeah, I mean, the state is actually, the state has done a very good job as far as regulating this. They want only the serious players of fireworks to be in this business in the end of it. They didn't want to have a firework tent on every single corner, because they couldn't regulate that. That was just mass chaos, in my opinion. The fire inspectors actually come out and inspect every firework facility. It doesn't matter if it's a building, or it doesn't matter if it's a tent. You're going to be inspected by the state of Michigan. Every area has an assigned fire. It's a fire inspector for the state of Michigan. It's not local inspection. It's by the state of Michigan. And my inspections are coming up here in May, and I have one gentleman that's going to come around. He's going to inspect all three of my stores. And, you know, we are held to very, very high standards. We have to pay for annually a certificate to be in business, which is a good revenue generator for the state of Michigan as well. Our insurance is very, very costly. I carry a $13 million general liability policy. It's a very large policy, and for all of our stores. So
And I think a lot of this had to do with the extra caution with all of this had to do after 9/11, because all of this stuff contains gunpowder or types of explosive powders.
Yep.
That, you know, people were concerned, you know, you're going out and buy a lot of them, you can use them nefariously rather than to have fun on the 4th of July.
Right.
So a lot of this also was generated by all that that happened.
That is correct, absolutely. I mean, it has, after 9/11, a tremendous amount of rules changed. People, and I shouldn't say people, ATF, inspectors, they looked the other way on some stuff. They did. And I'm going to use the example of M80s. That's a big firecracker, cherry bombs, all that stuff. That was very, very popular. Guys had them in their garage for years and so forth.
You could blow little things up.
Absolutely.
With them.
You know, they loved it. They stick them in apples, whatever, throw them out in the lake, watch them float and blow up. Well, now if you get caught with any kind of an M80 or a cherry bomb, it is a felony. And the ATF and the state of Michigan has zero personality about it. It's zero tolerance. If you're guilty, you're going to be punished. There's no two ways about it.
Well, these things do tend to make new regulations. When Oklahoma City happened, the farmers
yep.
went through it with fertilizer. They
right.
had to have
sure
more
did.
Documentation and such.
Right.
So it just seems to follow more of the stuff that goes on in the world, and more
absolutely.
Tightly we're going to regulate it.
Right. And well, the Boston Marathon, that's how they started that.
Yeah, I was thinking they were going to stop selling pressure cookers, but that was a whole different thing. But if you know what I mean. We
absolutely.
Sometimes we tend to knee-jerk a little too far.
Well,
but, you know,
on some things, but, you know, these are explosives. I completely support the regulation that the state has put through, because it really should be the sale of fireworks. The industry of fireworks should absolutely be regulated. It needs to be supervised. Someone needs to police it, because otherwise it will get out of hand. And the state of Michigan is actually really doing a pretty good job, in my opinion. I just got an email from the state here the other day of a whole bunch of fireworks that they confiscated last year, and that they're selling them to the dealers like ourselves. And this has been the tenth.
They were kinds that were legal to be sold, but were being sold illegally because they didn't have the insurance or the permits.
Like, correct. They just set up on a side street or a corner, wherever, and set their tent up, and they were selling, and, you know, either somebody turned them in or the state drove by and said, we're going to inspect them.
See, that's the part that kind of befuddles me.
Well,
is that, you know, they have to get them from somewhere, and
right.
Then that somewhere should be checking that they have these things, you would think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That'd be
like
pretty tough.
It's like there's a chain going on here, and somewhere, you know, you're regulated, but somewhere up the chain, somebody's dropping the ball, because if the people can get this stuff and they don't have the proper mm-hmm. paperwork, the proper permits, the proper insurance,
mm-hmm.
it just seems like something's wrong further up.
Well, yes and no, because you can buy them all over the United States. You can buy from a wholesaler, they're called importers, and they're all over the United States. I mean, they're in Florida, they're in Georgia, they're in Missouri, and you could get a truckload company, an LTL company, which is a hazmat delivery, and they could deliver them to you. And they don't check for it. They don't.
It doesn't raise bells if somebody who doesn't have a business is ordering that much.
I mean. You know,
I
agree with you, but you would think
the
somebody
chain
would.
That, you know, something would be going ding, ding, ding at Homeland Security saying, you know, something's not cricket here in Fillion or somewhere, our place where
yeah.
it's coming to.
Yeah.
Maybe we better check out where
and that's
it's going.
Why it's up to the local municipalities to know what's going on. I mean, I put that back on like the fire chief, the firefighters, police officers. If something doesn't look right, you know, somebody say, hey, let's just check that out for a minute. And, you know, in my stores, when you walk in, excuse me, when you walk into my building, right behind my counters, you will see my state certificate, and you will also see my general liability policy in right along with my sales tax certificate. It all hangs right behind my counter. And that's how you can tell. They have to be on display by law, so you know if they're in business.
You go into a restaurant, you usually see
absolutely.
The certificate that they've passed
yep.
inspection.
Oh,
so.
You go to a garage, a mechanic's garage, and he has to have a certificate hanging on the wall as well. So
it's all regulated.
Yep. And, you know, I'm in agreement with all the regulations, the rules and regulations, but, you know, at the end of the day, you can regulate something to death, but it still boils down to the consumer, and it boils down to common sense and being safe, using them in a safe manner. And I've preached that from the day I got into this business. You know, kids under 18 years of age must be supervised by an adult. I believe just about every firework that I have somewhere on it says requires adult supervision.
Does that mean only adults can buy them legally?
Yes, that is exactly what it means.
Because, you know, some places you have the money, here's the stuff.
Right, yeah. No, I do. I'll admit I have children that come into my store in Caseville because it's Caseville. Kids are out and about riding their bikes, and you know, little boys are fascinated with bottle rockets and firecrackers. And as soon as they walk in the door, I tell them, boys, you can look, you can't touch, and you can't buy. And so I tell them, you have to go back and get a parent, and your parent has to shoot them off for you. You have to be under direct supervision. And these little kids come up and they want to buy them little snap pops, the little white paper. You just throw them on the ground and they just have a little pop to them. They've been here for years. You cannot buy them unless you're 18. Smoke bombs, can't buy them unless you're 18. Hands down. And I think I agree with it.
Well, part of it is that in order to activate them, you have to have a flame.
Correct.
And we don't need 5-year-olds with picks running around.
Or matches, you betcha. Absolutely. I'm in complete agreement with it. So safety, a little bit of common sense, and the law does read that you're not supposed to shoot fireworks off while you're under the influence of alcohol. Okay.
Yeah, you're not supposed to drive, you're not supposed to boat, and we all
firearms,
know how that
works. Any of that, you know. So and you know, it talks, this kind of leads into you know, the local municipalities setting rules and regulations for that you can only shoot fireworks off on the day before, the day of, the day after a national holiday. Again, I'm fine with that. And they did that because people were shooting fireworks off at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I don't want to be woke up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning by fireworks myself. I work a long day. I need a little bit of sleep.
Well, and you don't know if they're out there inebriated, whether they're shooting them at your house or straight up. You know, I mean,
you would hope that they were using a little bit of common sense. You would hope.
You can talk to authorities, and they hope a lot, and it never comes to fruition.
That's right. Exactly. You can never be surprised at what is what you're dealt with, and people that are shooting fireworks off at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, chances are they have consumed alcohol, and I'm just assuming, but chances are they have consumed alcohol at some point in time, and they shouldn't be doing it. It is against the law, and they can be cited by an officer. They sure can. So I'm all for it. Safety. I tell people all the time, you know, I can't possibly sell a firework and run the risk of having a child get hurt. I couldn't live with myself. I just couldn't do it. So.
But again, it boils down to the parents' responsibility. It
sure does.
And they have to, they need to know the safety rules.
Yep.
And you know, we're not the best at reading the instructions.
No. No. Fly it's by a, the seat
a,
of our pants.
It's a Roman candle. There's a fuse. You light it. Away it goes.
Right.
But it'll tell you, you know, it's probably going to take, you know, so long to burn before it takes off. You better be far away. It's going to tell you don't do it near a building. Don't do it under a tree.
Under a tree. You exactly.
Know,
look
simple
up.
Simple things that that you wouldn't,
right?
You know, don't do it in a really tight residential area where
correct.
These things are going to come down somewhere, and your neighbors are not going to be happy when they go out there and they find bottle rockets on their roof and stuff, thinking
yep or on their pool cover
fire, you know?
Yeah, or on their pool cover. I mean, you know, those pool covers, those solar covers, that doesn't take much heat to put a little burn hole in them. And that, you know, I guess let's touch on that a little bit too. The composition of Class C fireworks is nowhere near as significant as what it is in a Class B firework, the professional grade. I'm actually a licensed pyrotechnician. I shoot professionally. So, like, when you set up, I use an example, just the 4th of July shows and the municipality shows, I am licensed to shoot those. So when you see those shells going up, and they're so bright, and the colors are very vibrant up in the sky, or one of the classics is the weeping willow. The shell breaks and it drapes down like a weeping willow tree, and it's very pretty. It is very difficult to get that effect in a Class C shell, the stuff that I sell in my stores. It's very, very difficult because consumer-grade fireworks, when they go off, they flash and they're out. They don't have that hanging burn time like a Class C shell does. I'm sorry, like a Class B shell.
Where they'd have things like magnesium that would burn a little longer, and yep. The other chemicals that make it green or blue right. or red, and all these other things that go into the formulation of them that wouldn't have any impact with just flash.
Correct. That's right. When consumer-grade fireworks break, they flash the color, and they're out. The ember's coming down. Most of them are cool by the time that they hit the ground. It's not like the professional grade stuff that stays hotter for a longer period of time. And I think that's important for the people out there to know. That does not happen. That doesn't mean that you should be shooting, fireworks off in your backyard while your privacy fence and your neighbor's got his beautiful boat sitting on the other side of it and you shouldn't use caution. That's not what I'm saying, because you still need to, because that would really upset your neighbor.
You also need caution depending on the present conditions in the area. Today, we've had some rain the past couple
right.
of days, the ground's
yep.
wet and such. But it wasn't but a week ago.
Yeah.
Just about anything set off a little field fire, ditch
yep.
fire, or
yep.
anything.
Absolutely.
And these little things going off are just as good as a cigarette butt in doing
yep.
that.
Yep, absolutely. You're absolutely right. When you have very, very dry conditions, I would probably myself not be shooting next to a winter wheat field. Even if it's a stubble winter wheat field, that's pretty easy for something like that to catch on fire. I mean, it's not going to take much of a spark to ignite that.
And I know as firefighters, they find people using a trash burning barrel and it just creeps right over to the nearby garage.
Sure does. Yep.
It doesn't take much when it's dry.
No.
Just an ember or two and
that's right.
away you go. And the last thing you need is this, at 8 o'clock at night, because
yep.
you wanted to do it when it was a little dark so you could see it better, and all of a sudden you're seeing your livelihood going up.
Well, and it's not a bad idea either when you're shooting these fireworks to have an extra 5-gallon bucket of water nearby, or a garden hose stretched out if you have one available. Not a bad idea to have a fire extinguisher beside you either, because an ABC fire extinguisher will put out a grass fire pretty fast, and at least get it so that a person could stomp on it or get a broom on it and get it put out.
Or at least keep it from spreading too far till a help.
Until professionals can get there, exactly.
And then they roll their eyes and look at you like, what were you doing?
Right, right. And it does
so
happen.
Dry and it's so nasty, and
yep.
you're lighting this stuff off. Now, fuses.
Okay.
A fuse is a fuse is a fuse isn't exactly true. Some burn fast, some burn slow.
And, that is correct.
And you just can't count on, I've got 6 inches of fuse. I've got plenty of time to lollygag and make sure it's going to go off before I leave.
Let's define that, because you're absolutely right. There are different grades of fuse. In my stores, I have three grades of fuse. I have Canon fuse, which is what I call green safety fuse. Okay, a foot of it would probably take about 12 to 14 seconds for it to burn. There is this pink fuse. It's called perfect fuse, and it burns 10 seconds a foot. And then there is a quick fuse. It's white, and it burns. It'll burn a foot within a couple of seconds. It's just gone.
Most of what you buy, Class C, in a package,
it's
would
all,
probably have its own fuse on it. Anyway.
It sure does.
So does the colors still reflect that, or
no?
You can't count on that.
All consumer grade fireworks have the green safety Canon fuse on it. It has a very slow burn time. So you have time to light it and get away from it.
Because a lot of times they don't give you much of a couple
nope.
of inches. And
right.
if it's burning at an inch a second, by the time you've realized it's lit, you're there
for the
ending.
And you'll notice that even on like the shell kits that I have, when you put the shell down the tube, you've got about 12 inches of solid fuse. So you do have time to light it and get away from it. The cakes or the repeaters, the boxes of multi-shot devices that I sell, you light that, and even though it goes into the box, it may go in and it may have a loop that it has to burn inside of the box before it gets to the first shell. So you do have several seconds to get away from that device before it starts to go off.
Don't get complacent. Get out of the way.
Exactly. Don't. Yes. These are dangerous. I mean, they absolutely are. And I'll be the first guy to tell you, I've had some of these get a little squirrely on me. I was negligent, and I set them on the grass. I did not set them on a board. I always preach, set them on a piece of plywood, set them on an OSB board. Just get yourself a nice, flat, firm surface. And
you try to make it level.
Try to make it level.
So things go straight up rather than
sideways,
shooting out like this guns of Navarone.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Get it on a board. Get it safe. And I was actually shooting in some grass in my backyard, and one of the smaller multi-shot devices that I was using, it tipped over. And things were going all kinds of places. And I'm like, oh, boy. I learned a valuable lesson. So
even the pros learn.
Exactly. The guy that lives and breathes it still makes mistakes.
So no time to take any breaks or from caution.
You always
be vigilant the whole time.
Always on your toes. Always aware of what's going on. And watch for neighbors sneaking through the bushes to watch your little show.
And pets.
Dogs are really bad with that because they see these rockets and stuff take off. They will chase them and actually try to grab them while they're going off. I've seen it happen.
Not to mention if it bangs at the end, you may not find your dog till the next morning as you're calling the radio station that it got lost that night because it took off in the middle of our fireworks, because it's loud to us. Imagine how loud it is to them.
Well, and horses are real bad. I've heard a lot of stories about horses. Horses are very agitated by that noise. So, you know, it's a great idea if you have neighbors, you know, be courteous to your neighbor. Hey, we're going to have a fireworks show this coming Saturday night. You know, would it be all right if you locked your horses up in the barn for that night? And I think that the neighbors will appreciate that. I really do.
Or just give us a call when you're letting the dog out for the night. You know, it'll be a 5-minute break. We can go in, have some munchies, and come back out and start again, rather than, you know, scaring Fifi into the next township.
Right, exactly. I have a lab and I have a beagle, and my dogs don't like the fireworks.
No.
They don't like them. They don't. I go put them in their kennels.
But, you know, there are dogs that can be trained for hunting, and they're used to the guns going off next to them. But if they haven't been trained that way, and I think you probably have to start as a puppy with that.
Yep, you sure do.
That they're never going to like it. It's a shock and a startle, and away we go.
Yep. My dogs, I have to laugh. I have two hunting dogs, and they don't like the fireworks. Gunshots, they don't mind. But the fireworks must be a different sound to them, and they don't like them. So... interesting.
How long are fireworks good for? I mean, you know, some things have a shelf life. You go to the store, you look on the package, and it says do not sell by. Is there anything like that with fireworks, or do they kind of retain their stuff, but you got to make sure they're stored right, that type of thing?
Here's what I tell people. Because I get this question a lot, actually, because people will come up to say, like, Caseville, and maybe the weather wasn't quite as nice, so they're going to save them for the following weekend, or they're going to be back in a month for Labor Day or whatever it is. Absolutely. As long as you take a firework and you store it in a dry place, they'll be fine. They will keep. Okay? Don't put them on concrete. If anybody's going to put them on a concrete, I tell everybody, maybe put them on a pallet. You know, keep them up off the ground so air can circulate underneath of them.
They tend to wick up the moisture.
Concrete wicks moisture, sure does. Absolutely, over time. If you pull a box away that's been sitting there for a while, that space underneath there will be damp. The bottom of the box will feel damp. Fireworks are the exact same way.
You can't rely on the plastic packaging.
No.
To do that. It's just basically to contain it while you sell it?
Correct. Pretty much. Yeah, and it satisfies all the rules, regulations of CPSC, the inspections that fireworks are put through. But as far as storing them...
because if you didn't have them properly bagged, people would be doing this like a buffet. I want three of these, I want three of those.
Right.
And then you'd be left with a box of stuff
nobody wants.
I have a whole box full of these you light them up and they make little ash worms.
Yeah, the little snakes, the colored snakes. As far as storing the fireworks themselves, just keep them someplace dry. If you have a dry basement in your basement on a shelf, is fine. Pole barn is much better. Pole barns are pretty dry. They usually don't have a lot of moisture inside of a pole barn. Garages are fine, but you know, sometimes the cars pull in, they're dripping snow, dripping rain. Maybe your garage door is open and the rain is pounding in. Humidity, dampness, the dew from an evening does affect the performance of a firework. And I'll speak for myself. I have shot shows like last year. Here's a great example. I was shooting for a buddy of mine that was a builder. He wanted to put on a nice little show for some of his customers. So I went out and I did it. I had everything all set up. I had my wicks pulled, ready to go. I was lighting them off in a sugar beet field is what I was lighting them off in. And I noticed that some of the shells were taking longer for the fuses to burn down. And I'm thinking, I'm waiting for this shell to go off. And then pretty soon it goes off. But it did, absolutely added several seconds before the shell would actually ignite down in the tube and launch into the air. So, and all I can attribute that to is the dew, you know, at 10 o'clock at night that sets down. You know, you feel it on the grass and so forth, and that's actually getting on your fireworks. So when you're setting up a show, you want to take that into consideration.
Any visible signs that this may not be a proper fireworks to use? I mean, if it gets too moist, I imagine the cardboard that a lot of the stuff is in might warp or look bad. I mean, will it still work, or are you taking chances?
If I tell everyone, if your fireworks get wet, don't mess with them, because here's what ends up happening. When the powder gets wet, it's not going to burn. But when it dries out, it will burn, but it also changes the composition, as I have been told, when you ignite it. It can actually be a little hotter, or it can be not as effective. Therefore, the shell may not go as high in the air, and therefore you're running a risk of a low break. And that could come right down on your audience.
So the old adage, keep your powder dry.
You're right on. And if your fireworks get wet, I personally soak them in a 5-gallon bucket of water and discard them.
Are you supposed to discard them a special way? Are they considered hazardous? There are chemicals in it. Is this something that, you know, if you know what I mean?
I don't know.
We're worried about these types of things getting into landfills. I really don't want to see Sheridan Township go up in
right.
a big explosion.
Garbage truck would be interesting, wouldn't it? You know, I honestly don't know. I've never been told that. Now, Class B stuff absolutely has to be disposed of properly. It has to go to a demolitions specialist to be discarded. Consumer grade,
there's probably not that much in it.
No, there's not. And I don't think I've never heard of any specialized disposal of
and again,
a live shell.
Your professional shells have things like magnesium, copper, other elements in it, good for recycling to begin with, and you know, you maybe not want the heavy metals in the landfill.
Yeah, I know
that gives them their color.
Actually, I've learned what they actually do with Class B shells that have to be disposed of. They actually go with the Department of Natural Resources. Those demolition specialists go and they'll dig down into the ground, bury those shells, and they'll ignite them to make duck ponds. I know a guy that actually does that.
So your unused shells from your professional things,
mm-hmm. yeah.
making ponds.
Yeah, that I couldn't believe. I didn't know. I had no idea. This guy told me, "Yeah, we work for the DNR. We'll go make duck ponds for him." Really? Okay. That's a great way to get rid of them. And it's, you know, a duck pond's not deep. You know, they're only what, 3-4 foot, something like that. They're not very deep.
The ducks can't go too deep to get the fish. They want to make it, you know, good bedding and
right.
everything else for chicks and such.
Yep. So, you know, and in all of about roundabout way, everything comes in full circle. And, you know, we're lighting off some explosives, but, you know, it also helps the environment in certain cases. So.
And I'm pretty sure you guys in the professional business work very hard not to have anything you have to get rid of at the end because
no.
it's all cost up front and
paper trail. A lot of paper trails. So when we shoot a professional show, it's going in the air. But you can never help. I mean, things happen at the warehouses and the docks, and you know, things get wet, things get, you know, busted up by a fork truck. I mean, it just happens. I mean, it just does.
Do you see us opening up to even more kinds of fireworks in the future? Have we kind of reached the safety limit? You were talking, you know, cherry bombs in the
right.
80s and stuff. You know, are we kind of at the limit of what there is for the consumer to use and have some reasonable assurances that people are going to be there the next day with all five fingers?
You know, I believe that the state of Michigan has reached its plateau as far as the consumer grade fireworks, in my opinion. When this started back in 2012, there was a lot of people that applied for licenses and they were selling fireworks absolutely everywhere. I think that the idea of get rich quick selling fireworks, I think that the realization set in and people realized that this was not a get rich quick business in 3 weeks. I think that they finally figured that out. Applications dropped a little bit last year, and I think they dropped a little bit this year. I think that you're going to see the only people selling fireworks are the guys that are wholeheartedly into it, and they have a passion like I do. I'm very passionate about my fireworks. I think those are the type of people that you're going to see handling them going forward. As far as opening the doors to any other types of fireworks, no. I think that there is, I don't know how you say it, there is as big as they're going to get for consumer grade is what I see. And I don't foresee them shrinking that down. I don't foresee the state of Michigan taking away the privilege of shooting consumer grade fireworks, because I think that everyone has realized that these are not as dangerous as what they were initially interpreted to be.
And we basically, if I remember it right, we kind of raised what we allow to match the states around us.
It correct.
Isn't like we set a new high bar for everybody else.
Correct.
We basically just kind of went with the flow because people mm-hmm. were driving down south to
sure were.
To get them and bring them back anyway.
Yes, they were.
And if they're going to be here, we might as well get that
the revenue.
12% tax on
yep,
it.
Yep, absolutely. And that is exactly where the state of Michigan is. I mean, we are right with the other states, whether it's Indiana, Ohio, Missouri, Pennsylvania. Those are all states that are pretty heavy into fireworks. So I think it's a great revenue for the state of Michigan. It helps in so many different directions. Very near and dear to me is the fire department.
You know how to put them out.
That's true. I like to say it keeps us busy, but really just no calls on in reference to firework related.
I think the first year the police had the calls.
Oh, I think though, yes.
Because of doing it in a village or a city, and the neighbors did not appreciate, like you say, at 2 in the morning.
Correct. Absolutely.
I know they were doing it behind my place, and it was
yep.
like, okay,
right.
I have to get up in an hour, and I get up at 4. What about the regular people?
Right. Absolutely. No, and I agree. Again, that goes back to consideration to your neighbor. But, and it is. It's set up as far as individual townships, the city limits.
And it's up to the people to check with their municipality
you
what
bet
the
it
laws
is.
Are, because ignorance doesn't count if
no.
someone complains and the police show up.
No, it does not count. You have to know what your township allows.
Is it a citation, or how does that work? Is it,
you
is
know,
it a violation like that? Or
I don't. I would be misleading someone if I said, because I really wouldn't.
And it may be up to the
municipality
how they enforce it.
And I think it's all depends. It's an individual case basis, is from what I have heard. You know, an officer may show up and say, "Folks, it's time to shut this down. We've had a complaint. You know, enough is enough." Or he may write the citation, and it's just like how you write your speeding tickets, you know?
It's just like when they go out for loud music.
Right. It really, it is. It's a noise ordinance.
You go out there and you tell them it's time to turn the music down, you've had complaints, and if they've got to come back, you're getting the ticket.
Correct.
That type of thing.
That's right. And it's how professional you are to the officer. Are you
how
nice?
How undrunk you are.
Yeah, right. How unruly you are. Let's put it that way. You know, and that goes a long way. So what I could say to you, though, is if you're going to do a fireworks show, invite your neighbors, because they would love to sit and watch the show at your expense.
Okay. You are in Cass City.
Correct.
Caseville.
Correct.
And expanding again, I understand.
Actually, let's back up. I actually live in Cass City.
Oh.
I have a store
yeah,
in Carroll, which is right across the street from Walmart. And then I have the store in Caseville, which is right on 25, just past the Dairy Queen. And we are now opening a third location here in Bad Axe. And that is going to be right in the Ashley Furniture Plaza, right behind the Taco Bell. Back in there, it's next to the AT&T Cellular Store.
in one of those strip malls where they used to always have a tent there, probably.
Probably years ago they probably did. Yeah.
But now it's a mortar and bricks place.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that can give people a little more confidence in that the people are here to stay, they're part of the community. And
right.
And that's another factor. We always like to support local businesses, not gypsies coming through.
I think it's so funny you use that word, because that is exactly what I think of some tents. I just think they're gypsy camps. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow.
And if they get too much scrutiny from the locals, they pack up and they go to the next town and they set up shop all over again.
Correct. And your brick and mortar stores, that's what we call them, brick and mortar stores, because, you know, at night we turn the key, we set the alarm, and we go home. And we don't have to worry about things. And not only are we here for 4th of July, we're here for the open houses, the weddings, the family reunions, the summer pig roasts. We're here for all that stuff. And I have a huge clientele that follow me. And I sit back in my off season and I think, you know, why is it that Pyro Paradise is successful? Because a lot of small businesses fail in their first 3 years. And we've grown 3 stores in the first 3 years. And the only thing that I can think of is that, you know, we have big city selection, but we have hometown pricing. I know what it's like to see those big price tags on things. I can't do it. I just can't do it. When I sat down with my wife and said, I want to do this, I said, I don't care how much money you have or don't have, there will always be something in my stores for everyone. And you come in my place, and everyone will tell me what their budget is. My budget is $40. My budget is $400. Whatever that budget is, we can make it happen.
Sticker shock isn't just for the car dealers.
You're right, exactly. And I have people that come back to me year after year after year, and they just say, wow, that was phenomenal. And I'll give you a great example. I have a youth church camp down by Fenton that they come and they see me every year since I've opened. And every year, their members just donate more and more money because the show is absolutely phenomenal. Because I love fireworks. I know what every single firework in my store does. And when they come in and say, I've got X amount of dollars, we tailor it to whatever they want. And I know I even number the amount of cakes and the shells so you can shoot it in your sequence, because I know what it's going to do in the sky. And it just goes from small to large to a finale at the end. It's awesome.
And that allows you to key it to their surroundings, whether they've got trees around there and other things, you know, you don't need something that goes quite that high.
Right. And that's a very, very true statement. I had a lady came into my store last year. Her daughter was having a graduation party. And they said, well, you know, we're really kind of new at this. We don't really know what we want. And they said, we have a horse. And I said, well, you don't want to get some of this big stuff. So I hooked them up with some of these 200-gram cakes, gave them a selection of them, numbered them, told them exactly how they needed to shoot them, put them on a board, keep them safe, get away from the barnyard, get away from the house, and stand back and watch your show. Works out great. And that's what we do for our customers.
Well, I appreciate you coming in, and I hope we have another good season where people aren't getting hurt, because I heard last season was pretty good that way.
Last year was very good. I have not heard of any major issues. But thank you for having me on. I really appreciate being here, and I enjoy doing this for the consumers.
Well, they need to know that, you know, it's out there, and to do it right is the only way to do it.
It's the only way to do it.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Our guest today on the program has been Kevin Vaughn with Pyro Paradise. We have locations in Caro, Caseville, and opening one in Bad Axe. So no matter where you are in the thumb, it's getting closer to where you can make sure you can get the fireworks you need from people who know the fireworks and can advise you to get the show that you want. Coming up at the top of the hour, 11 o'clock, we'll clue you in on all the latest in the news.